Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
I am the Messiah.
Did Grimace say that? I don't think so.
He got into the title card.
There you go. He's wanted his name on the show. I found out just moments ago that it is the Linnell Willingham Show, starring Chris Russell, right here on a Throwdown Thursday on the Team 980. At least that's how it's being positioned behind the scenes. The takeover has officially begun, boys and girls. We talk about sabotage all the time. My guy, trying to take the leader out, trying to take John Gotti out. Woo! All right. Good to have you with us.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Susie girl, relax. The Yankees are playing tonight. We need you to save your energy.
First of all, to the select group of 11 new listeners that I've brought to the show today. Just 11? Just 11. I was on a pretty interesting call earlier. Got some new listeners. I told them to beware of you.
Uh-oh.
And not to be offended by anything that they hear today. This is for entertainment purposes only.
Oh.
Meaning I'm showing off today.
Wow.
I'm doing the show with my entire ass out.
I'm
just a big idiot. Figuratively. Figuratively.
I was going to say, if you have a new audience and you're trying to show your skills to do the show with your entire ass out,
I mean, that'd be
probably not.
All over me then. Well,
it's probably
you know
not
what Q the Fool said.
How right. You want to start the show. But anyway, go right ahead, being that you're trying to out anyway.
I mean,
bring gas.
Well, it's already here. It's already here. We got a big show for you guys, though, man. The final show of the week always gets me, you know, because I realize I'm about to go into my abyss and not be heard from the general
public. I was going to say, it's not the final
public
show of the week for me.
Well, no, it's not. But Friday for you, I mean, you could do a Friday show in your sleep.
I do any show in my sleep.
Well, you do sometimes to the chagrin of, you know, the producer. But, no, Brian Baldinger's going to join us. We're going to get into the defense and get into some of the X's and O's as to why the defense has been not very good, but I continue to think, and I guess I have to give you your credit, you cage monster.
No.
I agree that they're an ascending group, and I thought Sunday they played better than what people are giving them credit for. They executed their game plan almost to a T.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to the defensive coordinator, Joe Witt, outside of four plays, they were great.
Yeah.
I agree with him to an extent.
I thought Joe Witt had some interesting things to say.
I love that he takes accountability. That's why I like Joe Witt.
Usually I don't go too crazy over coaching press conferences like everyone else goes gaga over them. I usually don't. But listening to Joe Witt on the way in, it was interesting. We're going to play a couple of those cuts a little bit later on. Like you mentioned, Brian Baldinger will join us. And, you know, everybody knows Baldy's breakdowns from what he does on Twitter and X and NFL Network. And, of course, here with us at Odyssey, and we'll get the defense. We'll get the offense. We're going to get into whether or not this is for sure as you can be after 6 weeks, a playoff team. We're going to touch on that later on in the show. But one thing that we wanted to just touch on, you know, from the start, and obviously I talked about this with Doc, and he didn't really, have much of a care in the world about it. And I talked about it on Monday, is how they're going to replace not only Jonathan Allen, but now we know for sure Javonte Jean-Baptiste. And I would guess Dorrance Armstrong for at least a game. Right? I don't know, but I would guess. They might be down three defensive linemen. Not one, not two, but three. Definitely two, maybe three. And I know everybody thinks next man up is the mentality that you have to have. And there was a book written about last week's opponent, the Baltimore Ravens, John Feinstein. It was a great book, and I get the philosophy. I understand it.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the setup and what you're doing. We can cut to the chase with it. They don't have enough professional depth.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
On the defensive front.
Right.
And we're at the mercy of the evaluator. You can't fix everything in one offseason. But, like, I don't know. The familiarity piece that happens in the NFL and why, just because he was on your practice squad in Dallas, you should bring him here. I subscribe to the best damn football players being on the team. That is what I subscribe to. I'm sorry. Carl Davis and Shelton Day. Shelton Day actually played well in the preseason. Yeah. But Carl Davis doesn't really move the needle to me. This Jalen Holmes, I've never heard of the kid. Yep.
He's on the active roster, and Carl Davis, the one that was with Dan Quinn and Joe Witten-Dallas, is on the practice squad. Now, that doesn't mean he won't be elevated.
We'll see ultimately what happens, but if you're trying to get me to have any confidence in their ability to rush the passer, the timing of it, to me, is what is terrible. T-R-B-L, terrible.
Is that a Charles Barkley terrible?
It's Charles Barkley terrible. Okay. I mean, T-R-B-L, terrible.
Yeah, I didn't know if there was Danny Ruye taking over your voice.
Dan the man. But no.
Danny listens from 1 to 1:15, and then he goes off into Radio Never Neverland.
Mm-hmm. But no, the thing is, like, Dorrance Armstrong was just starting to turn a corner. Mm-hmm. The past several weeks, he had been amongst the league leaders in terms of edge rush pressures. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who I discovered, and everyone is now, you know, I found him.
Right.
He was
like he was a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
I mean, he is, but you get a starting edge in the seventh round.
And you're Linnell the leprechaun, right? You just,
Lenny the leprechaun.
He's magically delicious.
Yeah.
Matt?
Oof.
You should act. Never mind.
I don't know if we want to go here, boys.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to go here.
But no, I think the timing is terrible.
Yeah.
Also,
they might be able to get away with it, even though Carolina's offense is better than people think it is.
Well, I had the numbers,
and better than the overall record. Certainly, they might be able to get away with it this Sunday, but it's going to catch up to you pretty quickly if all three. Meaning, we know Javonte Jean-Baptiste is gone for at least the next four games, right? That is Carolina, Chicago, the Giants, and then the fourth one is Pittsburgh, I believe it is, at home. We know that. Minimum. We know Jonathan Allen's gone for the rest of the year. We don't know about Dorrance Armstrong, but my hunch would tell me he's probably going to miss this week. We'll see about next week, but I don't know that. So we could talk about replacing a next man up and whatever, but the problem again is three key guys. Now, one of those guys should be replaced by Jamin Davis. Should be replaced, right? I mean, Jamin Davis, I mean, if he's not activated this Sunday, what the hell are we waiting for?
This is the problem.
And what are we doing?
This is the bigger issue. Dante Fowler.
Yo.
Jalen Holmes.
Yo.
Jamin Davis.
But
all three pass rush, quote-unquote, specialists, none of them can set an edge. For a run defense that's giving up 5 damn yards a pop, we are in hell right now. We are in defensive line hell.
And Chuba Hubbard is better than people realize.
He's ripping off 5.6 yards a pop the past month. Yeah. So, and if you watch the first half last week, Carolina pushed Atlanta's offensive line all around the field.
Now, Washington's defense in the first half last week, I thought they did a much better job than they're giving credit for.
An extra defender. I wonder if Carolina is going to make them play a heavy box. If you can't stop Carolina with your light box, and I gave you all the light box numbers yesterday, Washington is playing a light box fourth most in the NFL. That's to protect the young corners on the outside, obviously. But that is my concern, is do you have enough depth? Because if you got to tell me Jamin Davis versus Ike Ekwonu, I like Ike Ekwonu. You got to give me Ike Ekwonu versus Dante Fowler.
I'm a big Ike Ekwonu fan. Who isn't?
I mean, he's played. He was a high draft pick and has kind of not lived up to expectation.
Just teasing.
But no,
nobody,
I'm being
nobody
knows who Ike Ekwonu is. It's the left tackle.
Yeah.
But no, I do you get where I'm saying? That is my concern. And we took a bunch of calls last night on overtime about, is this a game that is potentially, a trap game? And we're going to do that with every team that's bad that Washington plays, because we feel like this is a good team now.
Well, but you hope that they treat it similarly to how they treated Cleveland.
Yeah,
which,
but Cleveland has a JV-level offense.
I understand
Andy Dalton's
that.
At least got a varsity offense.
I understand that. I was just going to say, there are differences, of course. There's no doubt about that.
I just worry about the run stuff, that leads to everything else. If they can't stop Chuba Hubbard with a light box and they got to commit extra defenders – now it's Deontay Johnson and one-on-one man-to-man coverage against one of our DBs.
Sure.
And I don't like that matchup.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. It is going to be
It's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be some 30-point blowout. This ain't the Cleveland Browns.
I'm going to have my buddy Chris McLean from WFNZ in Charlotte tomorrow afternoon right at around this time, 1:20. We're going to be also joined, I should promote this, Sal Palantonio of ESPN will join us tomorrow. Brian Baldinger coming up in about 12 minutes or so. So just hang on. Don't get on the lines yet because it's going to be a little while before we can take your call. So just sit tight. This is a game, for all the reasons that we know, they should win. And we haven't gotten to the real matchup disadvantage, which is should be Washington's offense versus Carolina's defense.
Yeah, that defense is god-awful.
This should be a matchup that, if they're for real, if they are a legit playoff contending team,
which we'll discuss as the show rolls,
if they are a legit playoff team, if they've really turned the corner, if Jaden Daniels is it, is him, is the icon of the seas.
The icon.
Right? This is a game, quite honestly, that even if they give up 21 or 24 points, which is very possible and perhaps likely.
I'd be livid.
Well, you'd be livid. I mean, you're livid about a lot of things that you shouldn't be livid.
But you gotta start. The Cleveland game, you mentioned they imposed their will, but like as I'll continue to say as we get lead up to Carolina, this offense is light years better than Cleveland's, I would say.
Well, sure.
They have a professional NFL quarterback in the center, not some damn
Cleveland's
creep.
Defense is, I mean, look, they're not as good as they were last year, but they're absolutely better than Carolina. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, just for, you're when I look at football, right, I try and find the matchup disadvantages, right?
Right.
And clearly, in this particular case, Washington's offense versus Carolina's defense should be a huge advantage for Washington. Carolina's offense versus Washington's defense, to me, even before these guys got hurt, was something that I was a little bit concerned about, maybe more than a little bit concerned about, or something that I thought would be an interesting test, an interesting litmus test, if you will, because I don't think Cleveland was a great litmus test. I thought Arizona was an okay litmus test. Litmus test. But Cleveland was not. We know Baltimore was, and they failed largely. Not the whole game, but they failed largely. But I felt like even before all these injuries, they would be in some trouble this Sunday against Carolina. Now, with those injuries, and provided that they don't turn the ball over three times instead of just their standard now one time per game, because that's pretty much what it's been like the last couple of weeks after a couple of weeks in which they had no turnovers. Until they start getting turnovers in bunches, I have to allow not only for matchup disadvantages, which we just briefly discussed, and we'll get more into with Baldy, but also I have to allow for, hey, you know what? Why would I believe this team is capable of turning the ball over three or four times against anybody?
Yeah.
Against anybody until they actually show that they can do it once, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Until they level out the playing field against any opponent, and that means Carolina, that means Chicago and Caleb Williams, that means the Giants and Daniel Jones, that means Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, and Terry Bradshaw and the Pittsburgh Steelers, whoever it means, you have to start turning the ball over more than one time per game. I was disappointed by that. I probably didn't make a big enough deal out of it.
Probably.
I think I just told our pal Derek Forrest this of DC News Now, which will air tonight at 11 o'clock on game night on DC News Now, and that is, when they turn the ball over, Mikey Sanders still comes away with the interception off the bad throw from Lamar Jackson on the first series of the game, like two plays after the 54-yard screen and run by Zay Flowers. When they do that, I'm thinking, oh man, they're going to turn the ball over maybe two or three times in this game. And they almost had a second one on a bad snap by Linderbaum on
Bobby
the next
Wagner's
series, but they never came close again.
Yeah, they did.
They never came close again.
Yeah, the turnover thing is tough, but you generate turnovers when you can generate a pass rush usually, and they can't.
Well,
so that turnover that they got, they did nothing to force that turnover. It was an errant throw from Lamar
Jackson.
Right,
exactly.
And it continues to be the big issue. And this is the difference between this team in 2012. That 2012 defense, they started off 3-6. They were god-awful, but they were turning people over.
Yeah.
Left and right.
People might remember what happened in that division-clinching Sunday night win?
Yeah.
Rob Jackson with the game-sealing interception off
jumping
of Tony Romo.
Yep,
but there were two other interceptions before that. I don't remember.
D-Hall had a pick,
was
I believe.
Was it D-Hall that had one? I thought it
Maybe I'm mistaken.
I thought London may have had one, but I'd have to go back. And I remember Rob Jackson very clearly.
I think it might have been like London and Richard Crawford.
You could be right. But the point is until this team starts creating turnovers and bunches, which, oh, by the way, is what they did in Dallas. Like, people think, well, in Dallas, it was Micah Parsons, and they got after the quarterback, and they had this dynamic scheme and all that. And they had some dynamic to their scheme. I'm not suggesting that they didn't, right? And we all understand, and Joe Witt talked about it today, Frankie Louvu is their version of Micah Parsons. Now, he's not Micah Parsons, but he's their version in terms of how they deploy him and whatever. People think, well, it was all this exotic scheme. It was creating takeaways that allowed them to give up big plays and still be a damn good defense for the most part. Now, were they hammered on the run in terms of physicality against certain opponents? Hell freaking yeah, they were. And that was a big-time problem, and it's been a big-time problem already this week, or I should say already this year here in Washington. But the difference was when you can create two takeaways, just two, not even three or four, but I mean, obviously, if you can, you can. But if you can create just two, Linnell, I said this during the offseason and in training camp, it allows you to give up some big plays. It allows you to make mistakes. It allows you to miss a tackle. It allows you to give up a 33-yard run off the right end to Lamar Jackson. It allows you to give up a 27-yard run to Derrick Henry in which you barely put a hat on. It allows you to do certain things. It allows you to give up 110 yards to Zay Flowers and still stay in the game and punch for punch and maybe even have a lead if you have a corresponding offense, which they do. I mean, which they do. So if this team can get to two turnovers a game, which I know is asking for a lot. Two takeaways, I should say, a game instead of one, which is basically where they've been the last couple of weeks after a none start in the first couple of games. If they can get to two, I think that's going to help an inordinate amount.
I agree, but I don't see it happening. You force turnovers by rushing the passer. They can't rush the passer. They're not good at it. The best edge rusher that they had just went on the shelf. And the guy that was coming on as a young cat, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, is on the shelf.
I mean, I thought Fowler was really good in that role.
Yeah, but you can't play Dante Fowler. You can only play him a certain amount of snaps. He does not play the run.
I get it.
And Washington's mentality defensively has got to be stop the run first, especially this Sunday. If you make Carolina one-dimensional, I mean, you can beat them by 40.
I get what you're saying about that has to be mentality number one, and it probably is, but you can't have two mentalities, right? Like, rule the day, right? If your mentality is we've got to create more pass rush, you're going to have to give up something, a little something on the run, right? You can't. It's really hard to do both, especially when you're down three defensive linemen. Am I wrong?
It was hard when you were healthy. I mean,
So my point
is,
what
they got to do. How they get it done is their job.
If you have to choose between one or the other.
What do I want? I want the pass rush.
Okay. All right. Let's hold off there. Brian Baldinger is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. We'll ask him as well, because Baldy played offensive line for a long time. He's been analyzing the game for a long time. He knows both sides of the football. He breaks it all down. We'll ask him that and all of his thoughts, obviously, on Jaden Daniels and the incoming Carolina Panthers, and maybe even a little on Caleb Williams and the Bears, who will be here next Sunday. Two big home games in a row for the Washington Commanders. We'll talk about it all with Brian Baldinger of NFL Network, Odyssey Sports Insider as well. Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us right here on the Team 980. Along with Linnell Willingham, I am the Rooster, Chris Russell. Good to have you aboard. Brian Baldinger is joining us from Odyssey NFL and the NFL Network. Of course, you see him on Baldy's Breakdowns. Joined by Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the best football show podcast, where you can also listen to him. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Baldy, always good to have you on. I know you got a flight, so I appreciate a few minutes for you. How are you, pal?
What's going on, big guy?
I'm good, Chris. It's good to hear your voice, buddy. It's good to hear you, man.
Absolutely good to hear from you, and Linnell is here too. So we'll get you out, because I know you got a lot going on. Baldy, we were just talking about the Commanders' defense, and obviously, listen, a lot of teams struggle against Derrick Henry, and you have to commit so many resources to shut down or limit not only Derrick Henry but also Lamar's play extension and legs. Whatever you saw of the game, how bad do you think the Commanders' defense was on Sunday? Or do you think it was just a play here and a play there that opened up the dam, if you will, and it's just really hard to shut down that type of offense?
They're hard to shut down. I mean, Lamar is playing better than any of his MVP seasons. I mean, he might have missed a throw, a couple of them the other day, but he didn't miss a read. I mean, he knew exactly where to go with the ball. And it was all levels. It was every player. It was Andrews for a touchdown. It was Zay Flowers from the first play of the game. It was Aguilar. It was Bateman. I mean, he didn't miss. And so that's what's hard, is that you can't, you know, that, I mean, look, Dan is, and Joe Richard, they're trying to mix things up here. I thought they actually did a decent job against Derrick Henry. He got the big run late in the game. But for the most part, they weren't bad there. They just couldn't get pressure and to force Lamar into a mistake. And, you know, that's what every team. I saw Baltimore the week before. Cincinnati had no answers for Lamar in that game. He just kept, you know, making one great throw and one great read after another. Yeah. But, I think the Commanders are on the right track.
Yeah.
They still need a lot on defense right now to really compete at the highest level.
Baldy, I agree with you. It feels like they're a group that has gotten better each and every week, but their number one problem that I continue to see week in and week out, and this has been an issue for these Dan Quinn-led defenses over the past several years, they're giving up the most runs of 10-plus or more yards. They're giving up the most yards per rush. Why are they having such difficulty in the run game?
Well, I mean, you just saw a great running team, the number one run team in football last week. But I would say, look, I think they have a lot of new parts. You know, the whole defensive end room is all new. It's a new defense. I think Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu are playing well, but they're learning how to play together. So I just think there's a lot of that going on. But, you know, to stop the run, it's about gap integrity. It's about run fits. It's about being in the right gap. And when they get exploited, they're not there. They're not in this place they're supposed to be. So, and that's everywhere. That's the corners when you blitz. Somebody's got to be in the C gap. That's safeties. I mean, run fits are a problem around the league, and they have been as well. But I would say the bigger issue than that is just, you know, just lack of pass rush right now. They have to pretty much blitz in order to get any kind of pressure on a quarterback.
Yep, and that was kind of what we were talking about before you got on. So, Baldy, I'll tie up that part of the conversation with this. How is it really hard, or is it just kind of hard? I guess that's the best way I could ask it, to get your run defense fixed and to increase your pass rush? Meaning, sometimes you have to give up one to get the other. Can you do both, or how hard is it to do both in concert with each other for an entire game?
I mean, your number one priority is to stop the run,
right?
You know, so that you can put them in passing situations where you can, you know, gear up your pressures and you can start thinking about winning one-on-ones, you know, and where the matchups are where you can win. So, but it does start with run defense first. Every team, especially when you get to the red zone, teams that can run the ball well, like a team like Detroit, let's say, I mean, if they can run it in the red zone, they're going to run it. And they're good at that. If teams can't run it, you know, then they're kind of one-dimensional and you can kind of figure out what coverage you're going to be in the red zone. But it does start initially with first and 10. All right, that's when teams either play action pass or run it, generally in this league right now, try to get a big play on first and 10. But it does start with being, you know, in the right gaps.
John Allen obviously lost for the season, Baldy, but him and Duron, based on how much they're making, highest paid defensive tackle duo in the NFL, just not enough impactful plays. One thing that I consistently see when cutting it on, teams running plan against Washington is to double those two guys on the interior, and they're working up to Louvu and Wagner, making their job hard. Washington, I feel like, is just having a hard time. I don't know if it's a technique thing, beating these double teams or getting displaced and giving up yards. Like, to me, that's their biggest issue. Is that something that you got to hammer in the film room? Is it a technique thing? Because that's been every week, no matter the opponent.
Well, they're a little small in that department right there.
Yeah.
You know, and even Johnny Newton, you know, I think is going to come on now. Now that his foot's healed and he's playing more and more, I think he has a chance. But they're not, you know, they don't have just the big, you know, guy that can eat double cheeseburgers inside and just chew up space in there. They don't have those kind of space eaters, you know, and you need those kind of players. I mean, you know, Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne, they're kind of similar, but they're not big wide bodies in there that, you know, can eat up space. And so I think and Dan Quinn had that problem in Dallas too.
Yep, right.
They still have that issue.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's different ways to play defense, but I like having big guys up front, and like Baltimore does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Baltimore has those. They've got four of them. You know, Travis Jones, Matabike. You know, you look at Pierce. I mean, he's 350 pounds. He takes up a lot of space. It's hard to you know, run it against those guys. Yep. Those linebackers like Roquan get a chance to run free for the most part all day.
Speaking of double cheeseburgers, insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You like this, huh, Baldy? I'm a radio pro. If I'm nothing else, you can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Again, joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, great Brian Baldinger. Check out Baldy's breakdowns, the best football show, NFL Network, and everything in between. Baldy, before we run out of time because we know you got a flight and whatever. I mean, obviously, Jaden Daniels is the talk of the NFL. Is there anything at this point that you look at and you say, he's just got to do this and then it's 100% on like Donkey Kong? Or is he pretty much doing everything you could ask?
No, I think he's pretty much doing what you can ask. I mean, the playbook is, just looking at some of the plays last week, I've noticed Cliff's play chart is much bigger than it ever was in Arizona or Texas Tech. They're running, I think because they're protecting pretty well right now, they're giving him more and more to handle. And I haven't seen anything that he can't handle. I mean, his execution, and there's a lot that goes on, before the snap every play that he's got to orchestrate. Nothing looks too big, too fast that he can't handle. I think the one thing that you would always guard against, Lamar had this problem. Kyler Murray has had this problem. He's just running too much. Now, he doesn't look to run. He looks to throw first. But just leaving the pocket may be a little premature on sometimes. Might be the only thing that you would say, okay. But at the same time, you got to let Jaden play. And he plays the game. I mean, next week is just going to be a classic, So, with Caleb and Jaden out there on the field and flexing the game, the prime time window, the whole thing. It's going to be fantastic. But we're seeing two quarterbacks really develop, emerge, and Lord knows this league needs great young quarterbacks, and we might have two of them right now.
Baldy, we know you got to run. We appreciate you squeezing us in and getting to us here. Always great to hear your voice. It was great to see you for a couple of minutes at the Hall of Fame game in Canton. I think that was the last time I saw you, and I look forward to seeing you down the road at a Commanders game coming soon.
Baldy, come see us, big fella.
I'll see you next week at that Commanders Chicago game.
All right, there we go. Dinner on Baldy. We'll put some Hellman's mayonnaise on it, okay?
Put it in the calendar.
There you go. Thank you, Baldy. Appreciate you. That was Odyssey's NFL insider, Brian Baldinger, host, again, of the best football show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. We appreciate him squeezing us in, flight and everything and to get to. So we wanted to make sure we'd be fair to him and let him go. So he brings up a couple of interesting points, right, on the defense and obviously on Jaden Daniels. We want to focus a little bit more on the defense. We're going to hear from Joe Witt a couple of interesting things that he had to say in his press availability this morning. So we're going to hear at least one of them coming up, and then we'll respond and obviously get you guys aboard. That's coming up next after a quick trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we have Capitals hockey for you tonight right here on the Team 980. Pre-game coverage at 6:45. The 4-0-0 Dallas Stars are in town at Capital One Arena against the 1-1 Capitals, coming off of an impressive 4-2 win against the Vegas Golden Knights on Tuesday. Again, the game right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. And that's because over on the Big Stick in college football, that's right, Thursday night football in Blacksburg, baby. The 3-3 Hokies against Bill O'Brien and the Boston College Eagles. They are 4-2. Kickoff in that one at 7:30. Again, coverage over on 106.7 The Fan. And in the NFL, there's a Thursday night game. Nobody really cares much about it. It's Sean Payton's return to New Orleans, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, who, of course, won a Super Bowl with the Saints, meeting them for the first time. But no Chris Olave. New Orleans down a couple of other offensive players. Patrick Surtain, a star cornerback of Denver, is out. The 3-3 Broncos against the 2-4 and reeling New Orleans Saints. 8:15 the coverage in that one. And two baseball games in the playoffs. Mets and Dodgers back at it. 8:08 first pitch there. Dodgers with a big win last night. They're up 2-1. 5:08 today in Cleveland. Yankees looking for a 3-0 lead against the Guardians. And that's what's trending. All right, good to have you back with us right here on the Team 980. 140 almost in the nation's capital and beyond, where we're always live and free on the Odyssey app. And as well, you can listen anytime, any place, anywhere, any way you want. Each and every segment, each and every show, each and every interview, like the one we just had with Brian Baldinger, is carved up, labeled neatly for you, able to be listened to, downloaded, all the whole jazz at the Odyssey app. Just go to the Team 980 and just go down to the show logo or at the team980.com. You could also listen to Linnell Willingham on Overtime last night on 106.7 The Fan. That's also on the Odyssey app.
Why would you not want to do that?
Of course. I mean, as a matter of fact, you know what that sounds like? A giant fart fest. Pretty much. I literally shut off the radio, Matt, in my driveway the second Linnell started last night. I mean, I didn't even wait. You know what time it is.
It's not what I say.
Ride with me.
Just because you're stale. You know what? I'm not going to do this. We have special guests listening this afternoon. I don't want to be perceived a certain way. I've been a lot nicer to you today because of our special guests that we have listening.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a chill.
So that means I have to be nice to you?
Nope.
You can't help yourself.
I mean, we did have a special guest come in the studio.
Yeah, courtesy of me.
Well, yeah, on the air. But we had a special guest that also came into the studio during the break. You missed it. But he's still here. Just look to your right.
I mean, you bastard. You know what? This is why we need to be streamed so that people can see what the hell
I'm
looking at.
Well, I'm going
to
take a picture of it just so that people know. First of all, I had nothing to do with this.
I figured you didn't. It's that mad scientist behind the glass.
He's throwing a bottle
he
of water.
He's throwing a water bottle at me. Thank God for the glass.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this is ridiculous. It's every day. You would think for me being the most knowledgeable, humble, gracious host that I am, you would think that you all would treat me better guest on this program.
Did you say you were humble?
As an added addition, a welcomed addition.
Did you say you're humble?
Oh, man. Okay. I'm as humble as they come. Look, you can be humble while also realizing that, you know, I'm one of the baddest men walking the planet.
Right, exactly. You and Mike Tyson, very much in the same vein. Do you know who Mike Tyson is?
Do I know who Mike Tyson is?
I just want to ask. Speaking of humble, I often think, like Joe Witt, with some of his words and some of his expressions, carries like a big stick, right? Like you think he's a meanie badass. And then, for the most part, when you listen to him, no, he's a pretty level-headed dude.
Sensible.
A seasoned, wily a veteran coach who's still got plenty of juice in him, who's not like old and fossil-like at 68 and 70, you know, kind of like Doc. I'm sorry. I'm just teasing Doc. But I like some of the things he says. Some of the things he says are a little over the top for me, and you know, we're going to arrive violently at all. Okay, fine, whatever.
That's a mantra. Hey.
It's a belief, it's this, it's that. But this morning, I couldn't help listening on the way in, and JP and B-Mitch were actually playing him live, so that's how I heard it, because I happen to be bouncing back and forth. And he said two things that really stood out in my mind, and I asked Matt to go get him, and Matt's so good, he got them no problem. So I just wanted to play one of them. I'm going to let Matt just fire one away, and then we're going to get your reaction, and we'll obviously work you guys into the mix about this Commanders defense, and then not only the challenge that they face this Sunday against Carolina, but this is just kind of like wetting the whistle for next Sunday against Caleb Williams and an improving Bears offense and the rest of the way. But listen to this, Joe Witt, when asked, I think, about miscommunication, right? I think it was Nicky Jabala that asked the question about miscommunication on the defense. Here's what he said.
It's a little bit of both. Communication is sent, receive, and acknowledge. So there was two cases the communication was correct that was sent, all right? It wasn't received by the person that needed to get it, and, you know, bad things happened. One time, this communication that was sent was wrong, and the guy, he received it, and he played what was told to him. And we let a free runner go. And so either case, I got to do a better job of making sure that it's sent properly, it's received, and it's acknowledged, and we play it the right way. It's unacceptable.
All right.
It's unacceptable.
So that is a pretty strong statement. Now,
yeah,
I don't know specifically what he's talking. If I had to guess, and this is just me a guess, and I'm going to let you respond.
Mm-hmm.
Is he talking about Bobby Wagner getting lost in coverage a couple of times, once on the Mark Andrews touchdown, once on a big reception? I forget to hell who it was. I was watching it last night, and it was just this massive swath of land, and Bobby Wagner's the closest defender, and he's 10 yards behind the receiver at the time of the catch.
I don't know. I don't know what specifically he's talking about. But I would say this, like, communication is something that he's, you know, hinted at being an issue in weeks prior. So the fact that it's still occurring is why I think you hear his tone kind of changing. And tell me if I'm wrong here. It took, or sounded like to me, a guy that's losing patience. If I'm, and maybe I'm reading it wrong,
mm-hmm.
but he said it's unacceptable. It is. We are week six.
Yeah.
They've been running. They've simplified this defense to try to help guys. They've changed the starters to try and help guys, yet they're still having some of the same mistakes. I don't know if the communication, clearly we think the communication issues are a result of the pass defense, correct?
Correct.
We don't think they're talking about the run defense.
Even you, didn't you tweet something last night, yesterday afternoon, or whatever, say something about like how the communication is not the problem here?
I don't think.
I forgot exactly what you tweeted, but I saw it. And
yeah, so my thing is, I think their issues Sunday were a result of the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they
gave up.
I think they were intending to give up, and they were okay living with that.
Right.
I continue to believe. It was based off Nikki Javala's piece she wrote in the Post about the Breakfast Club, 30 minutes before the start.
That's what it was. The defensive backs, there weren't as many.
They watched key points.
Exactly.
I don't think there was a lot of missed assignments from that group on Sunday. I don't.
From specifically the secondary,
right,
or what you're calling the Breakfast Club, right?
Which leads to your point about, is it the linebackers?
Well, I only speculated Bobby Wagner because of how he said it, and two, like, he's communicating directly to Bobby Wagner, and he's saying
he's
saying twice the call was given, it was received, and I forgot exactly how he said it, but it was not like delivered.
Probably,
and then one time he goes, it was not received. Matt, can we play that sound cut again? Because I thought the way he said, which is what made me think Bobby Wagner right off the jump, in addition to Bobby Wagner's problems in pass coverage, Bobby Wagner's the Mike linebacker. He's the one wearing the helmet or the microphone. He's the one getting the signals, right?
It's,
can we play
a
that again?
Bit of both. Communication is sent, receive, and acknowledge. So there was two cases the communication was correct that was sent. All right. It wasn't received by the person that needed to get it. And, you know, bad things happen.
All right. Stop it right there. Stop it right there. It was sent correct. It was received. It wasn't received by the person who needed to get it. Now, that could be where Bobby Wagner somehow, some way, is getting the call and then communicating to his guys. And for whatever reason, his guys aren't picking it up. Or maybe it's he's not picking it up. And I don't know what.
To let the rest of the clip play.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we're jumping on that. Go right ahead with the rest if we can.
One time, this communication that was sent was wrong, and the guy, he received it, and he played what was told to him.
All right, stop it right there again. He could be talking about he might not be talking about Joe Witt sending the call in, and the call was wrong, and Bobby Wagner.
Here's how it goes. I think this is what the follow-up question should have been. What is the line of communication for getting the damn play into the huddle? Because Joe Witt's in the booth.
Right.
Is Joe Witt sending the play down to the sideline?
No, the line.
And then the sideline's giving it to Bobby?
No, I believe it's Joe Witt to Bobby Wagner.
I don't believe that's the case. That is the case, then how is Bobby not receiving the play correctly? That's all Joe Witt.
Well, because what I think, if I interpreted what he's saying, is in one of those clips that we just, you know, part of it is that maybe Bobby Wagner is receiving it, but then not disseminating it correctly, or the person then that needs to hear whatever they need to hear is not picking it up correctly from Bobby. Right, because not everybody's on that microphone system.
Right.
Okay? It's the guy on the field, wearing the green dot. Right. And he is in charge of disseminating that on-field information, however it comes, whether it comes from the sideline, whether it comes from the booth. Okay, and you're right. You bring up a fair point. Maybe it's somehow being filtered from up in the booth to down in the sideline to Bobby Webb. I don't know why you do that. To me, that seems like extra, 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 but whatever. I guess basically, and maybe we're reading too much into it. It seems to me like Joe Witt is trying to get at that they have to, you mentioned they've already simplified it, that there were a couple of big play incidents. And when I went back last night, okay, because I take notoriously long because I'm looking at every play 10 different times and I'm looking for every nook and cranny that I can. When I went back last night and I saw the Mark Andrews touchdown right before halftime in which Bobby Wagner is kind of lost in the sauce in space. And I don't want to blame everything on Bobby Wagner. I don't know. And I even said on Twitter last night, I said, here's what I don't know. Like when guys are lost in a big, you know, in a soft zone, whose responsibility is what? I don't know. You can tell man to man. You can tell when Benjamin St. Juice gets beat on a post route at the top of the stem when the receiver makes his cut, yeah. and Benjamin St. Juice gets beat, you can tell who's responsible. In zone, you don't always know. And that's my point is I wonder, I think, at least some of that, if not all of that, from Joe Witt is, hey man, somehow, some way, the communication from me to Bobby Wagner and maybe on to another player is what we need to clean up, is what we need to be better at. I'm not saying it's horrible or bad, because there were clearly a couple of plays last week, and I just cited two of them, where they were just, I mean, massive, massive gaps in the coverage. Massive gaps. Not small gaps, massive gaps in the coverage.
Yeah, and I think the two plays to Mark Andrews is the ones that really stick out to me.
Maybe the second one was to Mark Andrews, too. Yeah.
The touchdown and then the big, that play where there's nobody on in the picture.
No, you're right. It was 32 yards or whatever. Yeah. And I remember seeing that live from the end zone view and going, oh my God, what
he's
are we doing?
Every
time they play two safeties back, there was just, I mean, how many times have I said since Sunday, there was just green pasture, like cows could roam freely with how much green room there was.
And I don't know what that is a result of, but I would say the linebackers had a more difficult job in coverage because of how effective the Ravens are running the football.
Yes.
You have to take your first step has got to be run. You're playing run first, you're stepping forward, and then you're play action. Bobby does not have the athleticism to, one, take a step forward toward the line of scrimmage, and then get back in his zone hole. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that both him and Luvu do, when you are dropping back into your zone, they don't have any feel for what's going on. They're dropping back into an area, and they're trying to key the eyes of the quarterback. That's why Lamar, I thought, did a really nice job. He was manipulating them.
All right, hold on to that, because I want you to expand upon that just a little bit more, but we're way late for a break because we got off a little on track. So just hold on to that, because I want you to expand upon that. We'll come on back. We'll finish up the defensive conversation. We'll get you guys aboard at 301-230-0980, and we're going to talk about whether or not this team right now, is for sure a playoff team on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so wrapping up hour number one, we've been talking about the Commanders' defense and all the issues and the trouble. Notice how Brian Baldinger, after me getting fried by a bunch of people, I'll just label it as that, said the Commanders' defense did a decent job against Derrick Henry. Matt, I'd like, if you have time at some point, if you can cut that out. It was like the first or second answer. I got fried by a lot of colleagues, including people that work here,
really?
For saying that they did
people
a pretty
here?
Decent job against Derrick Henry and the Ravens run attack on Sunday.
I took my defense of the defense to the X app to where my tweet is now going quadruple viral. I would love to. And so Matt does have the audio. He's amazing.
Yes, he does. He's
Do we want to hear that?
Well,
back?
Can you hang on to that, because I wanted to let Linnell finish up his point about manipulating eyes and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing: when you have such a dynamic duality running game that they do, Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, and you have a seasoned veteran quarterback like Lamar Jackson with weapons. And you have a defense that's in a compromised situation, and we were just talking about Bobby Wagner and miscommunication and play calls and so on and so forth.
Right?
You're just begging for trouble. And yet, 100%. If Lamar can manipulate defenses through eyes and through looks and different means, just like Jaden is starting to manipulate defenses week in, week out now. I want to touch on that later on in the show. If you can do that, you are screwed for the most part as a defense.
That's why, I mean, Baldy came on here and said it, and you brushed by this comment. I mean, Lamar's playing the best football he's ever played in his career right now.
I did brush by that.
And I think it's...
I thought he played really good last year. He's probably playing just as good, if not better, this year, but he's also got Derrick Henry, which is a huge help.
Exactly, which aids him tremendously. But, like, I think what Lamar – it is easier, I would say, for Lamar to manipulate certain defenders, specifically linebackers in that middle of the field stuff where they kill Washington mm-hmm. on these deep crosses yeah. and these overs, because the you're putting these linebackers in conflict constantly by – the jet sweep action, by the actual threat of the running game, yes. by the RPO stuff, yeah. by the read option stuff. It is a daunting task
yeah.
to be a backer playing against this Ravens offense. And this is no offense to Bobby Wagner. He's a little long in the tooth, man. He's old. Changing of direction is not his strength.
Yeah, I would agree.
So when you're asked to, you know, step up and make a run read and then haul ass to get back into your zone drop, it ain't easy. It's not, and he struggled with that on Sunday. Louvu is even more athletic, and he struggled with it because of what Lamar is doing with his eyes. And this is what we talked about it yesterday with Jaden. When those two guys at quarterback right now, to me, are doing as good a job as anybody creating throwing windows for themselves by using their eyes.
All right, your call's coming up. Plus, we're going to get into another thing that Joe Witt had to say that I found very interesting, fascinating. We'll do that coming up in just a mere couple of moments on the other side of 2 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.